We are transitioning into the last series. The series we've done, this is, I think, the ninth series of words as we've been going through all throughout the year. Turn me down just a smidge there, Jim. As we've been going all throughout the year, a systematic overview of Christianity and these important words, right? We've been looking at, we began with words about God and about who God is, and we've gone into salvation and about truth and about how do we know truth and Christian practice, Christian struggles, all sorts of things. And we are concluding our year by considering last things. The overall word for this series is judgment. And as you think about the word judgment, it is a word that is broad, used in a variety of different contexts, in a variety of different settings in the Bible, right? You can think about civil judgment, or the idea that we might use the word discernment, we make decisions, right? There's negative ideas of judgment, right? Matthew 7, judge not lest you be judged. But for this series, we are considering a very specific judgment. And it is the judgment we find in Hebrews 6, which was read for us. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation. These are things that are foundational, many of which we've talked about in our words this year. Repentance from dead works, faith toward God, instructions about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. This is the judgment that we're talking about over the next few weeks. And this word today, judgment, that we're going to focus on, we're not talking about the idea of making decisions or being discerning or having inappropriate views of other people. We are talking about the last eternal judgment. And there's a lot of different words. I say a lot. There are several different words or titles that refer to this judgment in the New Testament. Matthew 12, 36. Here we just have the day, right? I tell you on the day of judgment. You'll see a lot of this idea of the day. This is a singular event. This is a thing that's going to happen in the future, a moment in time that will take place on the day of judgment. People will give account for every careless word they speak. John 12, 48, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. This judgment is the end. It is it. It is the finality of all things. After that, there will be no more days. It is the end of time. 2 Peter 3:10, the day of the Lord. Now, you could say, well, isn't every day the Lord's day? He is the owner of all days, sure. And you could say, well, Sunday, that's the Lord's day too. Yeah, it is. But the day of the Lord, the singular day of the Lord, is the day when he returns. What does he return to do? To enact judgment. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. Heavens will pass away with a roar. The heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. And the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. And you can see as we go through different words that sort of relate to this idea. Matthew 12, give an account. Well, that has to do with judgment. 2 Peter 3, it'll be exposed. That's an element of this judgment. And so there are numerous ways that God and us, we make decisions, we make judgments all the time, but the true final judgment is yet to come. So important that the Hebrew writer, Hebrews 6, again, we read that already, includes it in the very basic, foundational, elementary doctrine of Christianity. Judgment is that important. Above all other things that he could have included in that list, it could have been many things that you cannot be a Christian without understanding. One of those things is eternal judgment. You cannot be a Christian without understanding the idea of judgment. And so as we consider judgment, we must ask. Now, as we're going to go through the series, I want to break this down a little bit. We're going to talk about, as we go through the rest of the series in the coming weeks, we're going to talk about resurrection, we're going to talk about heaven, we're going to talk about hell, we're going to talk about hope, these elements of judgment. But today, as we think about this judgment, what does it mean? What will be the standard of judgment? Because any judgment has to involve a standard, right? We think about civil courts, a judge makes the decision. What does he have to do? He has to weigh what has happened versus the standard, which is, in the case of a civil court, civil law. We make judgments all the time, right? Judgments about other people. There has to be some sort of standard. What am I judging this against? And then, of course, the last question, when will we be judged? So, number one, What is judgment? What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, now we've seen some elements of it already, right? There's going to be given account. There's going to be some exposure. Matthew 13:47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. And here's our key idea for judgment. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate. There will be a distinction. There will be a division. There will be a separation happening in judgment. They will separate the evil from the righteous, throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Romans 2:15-16. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, where their conscience also bears witness, their conflicting thoughts accusing or even excusing them, on the day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. Now, what do we see here? Okay, well, there's going to be a separation. What's the separation going to be? Well, it's going to be based on everything. It's not just what you did, right? That'd be nice if it was just what I did. I could sort of fake it, right? I could fake it till I make it. But what is being brought into judgment in Romans 2? Thoughts, the conscience of our hearts, the things that we think and feel, those will play into judgment. It's not just what you do, it's what you think and what you feel. And when we think about, we talked about in this, in Bible class this morning, the promise of the Old Testament, the changing, the new spirit that will be given, is not just that we're going to start doing better things, but there has to be a complete, total life realignment of every aspect of our being. Because every aspect of our being will play into judgment. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award. This idea of award. The judgment is not just a statement, but it carries some consequence, some follow through, some retro. Now, you can think about this in a couple of different ways. When we think about it in a negative sense, we think about a judgment that carries a negative thing. We call it a penalty. We call it a consequence. We call it a punishment. When a judgment carries a positive consequence, what do we call it? We call it an award here. We call it a benefit. We call it some sort of blessing maybe. But it's the same thing. There is a judgment, and there will be a thing that follows based on that judgment. Now, in this case, the award is the crown of righteousness. In other cases, we've already seen, right? They will be cast into, what did he say here? They will be thrown into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is the result of judgment. Just like this is the result of judgment. The final judgment, then, will be the time when people are sorted, separated into two categories. All the thoughts, actions, and words of our entire lives will be brought to light to be judged. This is a judgment of our total being, and the consequence or reward then will be given out depending on that judgment. So we must ask then, if this is so important, what is the standard? What is the thing that will determine what group I'm in? If I'm being separated, right, into the good consequence and the bad consequence, what's the standard? What is the thing that I'm comparing to? What is the thing that I have to measure up to? My actions, my thoughts, my words, those things will be brought to light. What are they measured against? Well, John 12:48, we've already read this. We're repeating a lot of verses in this sermon. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. Acts 17:30, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commends all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. We're going to read all these and we'll talk about them. Romans 2:15-16, which again we've already read, they show the work of the law written on their hearts. Their conscience bears witness. Their conflicting thoughts accuse or excuse them on the day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. What is the standard? It's very simple, right? What is the standard? Jesus is the standard. What he's done, what he lived, what he said, what he wants. He is the totality of it. We will be judged by, according to his gospel, we will be judged by Christ Jesus. We will stand before the seat of Christ. We will be judged, what does it say? The word that I have spoken will judge him. That's Jesus. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. We will be judged by the man whom he has appointed, the one that was raised from the dead. Very simply put, Jesus, his life, and his words are the standard. That's what you're being measured against in judgment. What Jesus said, what Jesus did, how he lived, and what does he want? And again, we've said this already, judgment is one of the central principles or concepts of Christianity at its very core. Jesus came because of judgment. You ever thought about that? That's why he came. He came, why? Why? What does that mean? He came because of judgment? He came because he knows we will all fail in judgment. That's why he came, right? Because we have been judged and found lacking. Now, he spent the whole Old Testament proving that to us. You think to yourself, why go through the whole business with Israel? The whole business of Israel is proving this point. We cannot meet the judgment, which is why Jesus came. And so as he came, he exemplified then the standard of judgment. This is what you need to live up to. This is your model to go for. This is what you're striving to be. He explained. He didn't just live it. He explained the requirements of judgment. What do you need to do? What do you need to do? How do you need to say? What do you need to live? Like all of those different things. But then, of course, most importantly for our purposes, I know I can't be righteous. What do I do then? What do I do knowing that I can't meet the standard of righteousness? How do I get around that? Well, Jesus explained that, right? He explained, okay, I've come because you're all a bunch of schmucks. Here's what you do about it. Here's how you can get around the ultimate consequence for your failures. And he explained that to us, the idea of the kingdom, right? The church that would come, the idea of how do we be in the kingdom, the idea of all of the different elements that we've talked about already, about repentance and confession, about being immersed to be united with Christ. Why do we need to be united with Christ? Because he's the judge and the standard by which we will be judged. That's why I need to be united with him, because only then can I stand in judgment. Ultimately, Jesus died to satisfy judgment, wasn't it? God looks at us, sees that we cannot meet the standard of judgment, and what did we say? That judgment carries some sort of consequence, some sort of thing that happens, a result of judgment, which for those who do not meet will be what? The fiery furnace, the weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what does God do? He sends Jesus. You will satisfy the needs of judgment. You will die in place of those who will not meet judgment. Ultimately what? Jesus will return then, the last day, the day of the Lord, the day of judgment. He will return to enact judgment. You cannot get away from judgment in Christianity. And I know the temptation is maybe to sanitize or to sort of back off of this idea, to soften it. But the Hebrew writer is clear. Eternal judgment is one of the elementary principles of Christ. Elementary doctrine. It is one of the foundational things. Without understanding judgment, you cannot hope to be a Christian because of these things. It is at the center of all that Jesus did. The need for judgment, the need to satisfy judgment, the need to help us in judgment. Hebrews 9, 26 through 28. As it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, because he did that already, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So here's what we really all want to know, isn't it? Oops. When will judgment come? We understand, of course, I think, you know, you read through the New Testament, it's easy to see there's going to be judgment. There's a standard of judgment, right? There's things that we need to do. But we ask this question. We always ask this question. When is that going to happen? And fundamentally, I want to do a broader view of this before we dig into the details of it. Why do we care so much about when will judgment come? Let's put it this way. For our own sake, it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter for our own sake. We should just be doing what's right. Who cares? He's going to come or he's not. Whenever he comes, that's going to be the case. But I'm just living my life according to his standard of righteousness. I'm living my life according to the judgment of Jesus. I'm living my life so that the way that he wants me to live according to his words, right? The words that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For myself, I shouldn't care when judgment will come. It should be irrelevant because I'm just going to keep living my life according to the standard of Jesus. This comes into play in two aspects. Number one, we ask when judgment will come because we want to know how long can I avoid living up to the standard, right? How long can I avoid making things right? Can I just keep doing the things that I want to be doing? I don't want to make things right yet. I'm not ready yet. So when is this going to happen? So we want to ask that to avoid the question or avoid the responsibility. But we could say that's in the negative. In the positive, we could ask this. When is judgment going to come? How long do I have to reach more people? That's how we should be thinking of this question, right? How long do I have to help other people avoid judgment? That's why it matters. It doesn't matter for myself personally, because if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, it doesn't matter. But it should matter for me as a matter of urgency. How long do I have to reach my friends, my family, my coworkers, whoever, with this idea of judgment? So when will it be? 2 Peter 3:8-10. Beloved, do not overlook this one fact that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord, this last day, the day of judgment, right, will come like a thief. Then the heavenly bodies will pass away with a roar. The heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. The earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. This idea of like a thief, what does that mean? There's a period of time that we can't measure. We don't think about time the way God does. He views time in a different way. Those of you who are at the men's Bible study on Saturday, we're just repeating the same things. I didn't plan it that way. It just sort of accidentally happened that way. What is the point? God is not slow. Where is he? You know, time's a wasting, God. It's 2,000 years later. When are you going to show up? He is patient because of that question, right? When will judgment be? How long do I have to reach others with the message of repentance? He delays longer and longer. And I'm glad, right? We should be glad that he's delaying, right? We should be glad for that. Why? Because it gives more people a chance to repent. But what's going to happen eventually? The day of the Lord will come like a thief. It'll just happen. When what? Well, Jesus explains it in more detail. Matthew 24:36. Concerning that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven. And this is interesting, nor the Son. Jesus is admitting he does not know. I don't know. When is it going to happen? Who can say? Jesus can't say. No one knows, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, this is what it means, like a thief, though will be the coming of the Son of Man. As in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah went in the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. When will this judgment be? There's a very simple answer to that question. I don't know. Anyone who claims to know, they're wrong. Because you're claiming to know something that not even Jesus knows. Nobody knows when judgment will be. It could be another 2,000 years. But let's be clear about this. That doesn't really matter. Because you could die tomorrow. Your judgment, what did he say in Hebrews? As it appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. For you, for me, that could be in 2 hours. Because life happens, right? When will this judgment be? We shouldn't say, I don't know. What should we rather say? At any moment. This judgment will be at any moment. Now, I keep waiting. Someday I'm going to be right about this. Someday, maybe not, if he doesn't come before I do. I just keep waiting. I'm going to say that thing, and then he's going to come back, and it's going to be awesome. It never happens that way, right? We all think it's going to be in our generation. It may not be in our generation. But for us personally, it doesn't matter if it's in our generation or not, because I don't know my own future, let alone the future of eternity. Judgment is coming. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the consequences of judgment, both good and bad, as we said, heaven and hell. We're going to look at what God has done to help us in judgment. We're going to look at the resurrection and hope. But here's the conclusion for us, the practical thing. James 5, 7 through 11. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord, until judgments. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains? You also be patient. Establish your hearts. What does that mean, establish your hearts? Well, he'll explain that. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. What happened with them? They spoke and they were persecuted, and then many of them were killed, and they endured. They persisted. They still did the right thing. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, who suffered unimaginable things and persisted in his faith. He had established his heart previously that he would be in submission to the Lord no matter what. You have seen and heard the steadfastness of Job. You have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. For us, the point is what? Judgment could come at any time, so be ready. Establish your hearts. We know what Jesus has said, right? My word will judge him. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. What is the word that he has spoken? We think about the end of the gospel, Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatever they want to observe. Is that how that verse ends? Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. For us, as we wait for judgment, there are two questions. Number one, are you ready? If not, it doesn't matter when Jesus is going to come back because you don't know your own future. Be ready. And number two, who in your life is not ready? What could you be doing to fulfill the purpose of the Lord in their life, to bring them into mercy while the Lord delays? He is not slow, he is patient, not wishing that any should perish. He's waiting for you to get off your rear and do what's right. For your friends and for your family, for your coworkers.